This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Pastor Rick looks into the Bible and shows us how God uses the miracle of mercy to transform our lives. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a wonderful resource called Journey with Jesus. This deluxe gift book will help you uncover deep biblical and historical insights into the most important event in human history. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Showing Mercy to Your Family.
You know, the sad fact is, sometimes the hardest place to show mercy is at home, with the people you live with all the time. In fact, we're often harder on ourselves, harder on our spouse, harder on our children than we are on total strangers. What's wrong with that picture? That often we are more ungracious to our own family than we are to total strangers. Have you noticed this? You could be in a major argument in your home, and I mean it's a knockdown, drag out fight, and the phone rings and you're at the top of your voice, you pick up the phone, hello? What just happened? So wait a minute, you could control your anger for a stranger, but you couldn't with somebody you're having a conflict with. We are often harder on our spouse, on our kids, than on anybody else. I'm not proud to admit this. I don't like this, but it bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you. It bothers me that sometimes we say the most ungracious things to those we love the most. Does that bother anybody else? Does that bother you that you can be the angriest or even the meanest to the people in your life you love the most? Maybe you can identify with what David said there on your outline, Psalm 101, verse 2. David says this, Lord, I want to live. I want to live a blameless life, but how I need your help, Lord, especially in my own home. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah, right. Especially in my own home where I long to act like I should. Now, you may think you're a very loving person. And love and mercy, of course, go together. The miracle of mercy is the miracle of love. You may think, man, I'm a great lover. I'm just so full of love. I'm a very loving person. Okay, let's just have a little quiz. So let's take a little quiz right now. How merciful, how loving are you with your family, really? Okay, how about this? When my spouse or my sibling or another family member gets some detail wrong while telling a story, do I A, interrupt them and correct them publicly, or B, say nothing and let it go, knowing I've done the same? Write down your answer right now. You may not cheat on this. God is watching. All right, okay, you know, you admit it. Okay, it's more likely B, that you're not doing. It's more likely you're doing, interrupt them and correct them publicly. Okay? How about this second one? When my spouse or my siblings or another family member keeps making the same mistake over and over and over, do I become irritated and angry at them or graciously forgive them and pray for them? Okay. You're two for two right now, okay? I can feel the humility in your life rising right now, all right? Okay, today's Worship Together weekend. We got our students with us. Welcome, junior high, senior high. I love you guys. Here's a good one for you. Number three, when my spouse or my sibling, that's your brother or your sister or another family member, is getting more attention than I think they deserve, do I A, feel resentful and feel the need to bring them down a notch, brothers, sisters, or B, celebrate with them? which is the merciful thing to do. Okay, check one of those. Some of you are lying through your teeth right now. Okay, number four. Here's the fourth question. How merciful really are you with your family? When my spouse or siblings or another family member says or does something that I don't understand, I see what they did, but I don't know why they did it. Do I assume they have their best motivation for doing it? Or B, question their motivation and think the worst? I know why they're doing that. You don't even know your own motivation most of the time. How in the world could you possibly know your brothers or your sisters or your mothers or your fathers or your wives or your husbands? You don't even know your own motivation most of the time. Okay, and then here's the last question. Am I more polite with strangers or with my own family? Now, we have been saying that, I can see you're ready for the sermon now. Okay, yeah, okay, maybe I do need to work on this thing about mercy in my family. You know, we've been saying for weeks that mercy is love in action. Mercy is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a behavior. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's something you choose to do. You choose to be merciful. And we've been saying for months that mercy is love in action. So whatever is true about love is also true about mercy. Now, that helps us out a lot because the Bible has a very famous chapter called 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter defines the meaning of real love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us 15 characteristics of real love. Real love is very different from the phony love you hear like about on the radio and songs and stuff like that.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, I want to tell you about today's special opportunity. Pastor Rick created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover and is filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. You'll join Pastor Rick as he traces Jesus's journey through Jerusalem to Calvary. It is the most passionate and powerful path Jesus walked while here on earth. You'll uncover deep biblical and historical insights into the most important event in human history. And you'll experience the joy and peace that only comes from a deep understanding of the love Jesus showed for you on the cross. We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the love of Jesus around the world. You'll want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. You can call 800-600-5004. Or you can visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or 1-800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
And we've been saying for months that mercy is love in action. So whatever is true about love is also true about mercy. Now, that helps us out a lot because the Bible has a very famous chapter called 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter defines the meaning of real love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us 15 characteristics of real love. Real love is very different from the phony love you hear like about on the radio and songs and stuff like that. And if it's true of love, those same characteristics are true of mercy. They are the marks of mercy. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, God gives us the 15 characteristics of real love. And unless you're doing these things, you don't really love somebody. These are the characteristics of real love. Let me read them to you. They're there on your outline. Love is patient. So anytime I'm impatient, I'm being unloving. Love is kind. Anytime I'm unkind, I'm being unloving. Love does not envy. In other words, you don't want what somebody else has. Love is not boastful or proud. When I'm prideful, I'm not full of love. Love is not rude. Anytime I'm rude, I'm not being loving. Love is not self-seeking. It's not me first. Today, a lot of songs, love songs on the radio, they're not love songs, they're lust songs. Love is all about giving, lust is all about getting. When you hear a song that says, give it to me, if you don't give it, I'm gonna take it. That's not love. That's not love, that's lust. Love can always wait to give, lust can never wait to get. And if it's all about you, you know, you make me feel brand new. You make me feel like a natural woman. You make me, that's not love, that's about me. Love is not self-centered. Love is focusing on the other person. And then you say, I love you because of what you make me feel. That's not love, that's selfishness. That's selfishness. It's I love you if, I love you because. No, love is I love you, period. Love is I love you in spite of yourself. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not irritable or easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. This is real love. Love rejoices with the truth. You don't manipulate people when you love them. Love is always supportive. Real love always trusts. It is always hopeful. Love always perseveres. And love never gives up. Love never fails. It never ends. Now, these are the 15 characteristics of love. And I was tempted to do a message on all 15 characteristics. But then I asked Kate, who is a very wise woman, honey, what should the mother's message be? She said, short. So we're only going to look at four of these marks of love today. The first way we can show love in our home and in our family is by overlooking irritations and offenses. By overlooking, in other words, ignoring, not even paying attention to the irritations, the offenses. You're gonna have irritations in life. Nobody has good days every day. And many families and marriages are buried with a lot of little digs and irritations and offenses. And yet the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love, real love, is not irritable or easily angered. Circle easily angered. Real love does not get angry easily. Now, anger is by far the most misunderstood human emotion. It's also the most mismanaged of all the emotions. Anger is the most mismanaged emotion that we have. Now, anger is not necessarily a sin. Sometimes anger is the only appropriate response. There are some things you ought to get angry about. Anger is not a sin necessarily because God gets angry. God sees people getting hurt on the earth, he gets angry about it. The only reason you have anger is because you're made in God's image. There's a good kind of anger, there's a bad kind of anger. There's a righteous kind of anger, there's an unrighteous. There's an unselfish kind of anger that's based out of love, and there's a selfish kind of anger based on you hurt my pride. And that's wrong. It's not anger that's wrong, it's why you're angry and how long you stay angry. Long anger turns into resentment and turns into bitterness, and that's always a sin. But anger is a God-given capacity. When you see racial prejudice and racial profiling and bigotry in the world, you ought to get angry. When you see injustice and unfairness in the world, you ought to get angry. When you see, hear about a woman being raped or a child being abused, you ought to get angry. When you hear about Christians being beheaded by radical people in other parts of the world, you ought to get angry. In fact, if you don't get angry, if you never get angry, you're a vegetable, not a human being. Anger is a part of human life. And some things are worth getting angry for. You get angry out of love. If you hurt my grandchildren, I'd get angry. I'd get angry. And anger is a God-given capacity, but you gotta learn to control it, and you gotta learn to use it wisely. Managed anger is an asset. Every great leader in history has learned how to manage anger. And those who didn't, it was their downfall. And the Bible says that's the problem. Now, the real problem is that a lot of you think you don't get angry because you stuff it. But that's just as inappropriate as expressing it incorrectly. There are two wrong ways to get angry. One is to blow up Mount Vesuvius, and the other is to clam up and stuff it in. Both of them are inappropriate responses of anger. Neither are correct. and you blow up your clamp. You're either the mute, you hold it in, or you're the maniac, you let it all out. You're either a skunk or you're a turtle. In life, everybody here is a skunk or a turtle. Skunks, when they get upset, they let everybody know it. They stink up the place. When a skunk gets angry, everybody knows they're angry because it smells. Turtles, when they get angry, they pull into a shell. Now, here's an interesting thing. I used to do marriage counseling. What I've discovered, skunks always marry turtles. So in your marriage, one of you blows up and one of you clams up. Count on it. And neither is the righteous one. And neither is more sinful than the other one. They're just both inappropriate ways of dealing with anger. Love is not irritable or easily angered. The Bible is very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. The Bible says in Proverbs it causes arguments. The Bible says it causes mistakes. The Bible says uncontrolled anger causes foolish things to happen in your life. And what is the antidote to harmful anger in your marriage and in your family? Love and mercy. The more you feel God's love and the more you feel God's mercy, the more you're going to show God's love and you're going to show God's mercy to other people. And love is not irritable or easily angered. The Bible says this, Proverbs 17, verse 9. Love forgets mistakes. So when you hold on to a mistake and you keep remembering it over and over, that's not loving. Nagging parts separates even close friends. Proverbs 19, 11. The Bible says, it is to your glory to overlook an offense. Circle the word offense. It is to your glory to overlook offense. It is to your credit. It shows your maturity if you can overlook offenses. People who get offended at everything are immature. People who don't get offended at everything, they just let it slide. They overlook irritations. They overlook your offenses. That's a mark of emotional maturity. If you're always getting your feelings hurt, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. Because that doesn't mean that that's not legitimate. Maybe they really are hurting your feelings, but you need to learn how to overlook an offense or you're going to be unhappy all your life. You know, when I get irritated, when I get offended, when somebody says something mean about me, nobody ever does that, but you know, critics and things like that. If I start to get upset, I ask myself three questions. Number one, why am I angry? You need to know why. Number two, what do I really want out of this? And number three, how can I get it? And you will never get it by clamming up or blowing up. You're never going to get what you want in your marriage. You're never going to get what you want in your family, in your relationships, with your friends or anybody else, if you use these blow up or clam up alternatives to anger. Love is not easily angered. Here's a good verse. Look at this next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Be careful. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look out. Look for the best in each other, the Bible says. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. You know, if we would just memorize that verse, everybody in our church family, and we'd practice it for a year, we'd be a whole lot happier. We'd have a whole lot better relationships, better marriages, better friendships. Look out for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. All right, let's go to the second way you can show mercy to your family. Number two, by being kind when they don't deserve it, but they need it. By being kind when they don't deserve it, but they need it. Now, in every family, we have what I call VDPs. Now, when I talk about family, I'm not just talking about mom and dad and kids, nuclear family. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters, your moms and dads, your aunts, your uncles. Everybody has an extended family. And in that extended family, you have some VDPs, which I call very draining people. Now, don't look at them right now, but you know who they are, okay? There are difficult people, and difficult people are hard to work with. They're irresponsible. They're immature. There are demanding people. They're pushy. They always want everything their way. They're aggressive. They're often rude. Difficult people, demanding people. There are destructive people. There are people who are abusive. In relationships, and they hurt everybody, and they're manipulative. And then there are disappointing people. And those are people in your family who break their promise. And they tell you they'll do something they don't. And sometimes they're disloyal and you can't depend on them. They're disappointing. And how do you deal with these kind of people? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is always supportive. Are you always supportive? You always supportive of the people, whether they deserve it or not? You say, well, how can I be more patient? How can I be more kind? How can I be more supportive? Well, here's the answer. Next verse, Proverbs 19, 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Now, here's the key. If you want to be patient with anybody, learn more about what makes them tick. Because if you understand their fears, you're going to be more patient with them. If you understand their hurts, you're going to be more patient with them. Hurt people hurt people. Anytime somebody's hurting you, it's because they're hurting. We don't just automatically hurt other people. You hurt people when you are hurting. Other people hurt you when they are hurting. And if you understand their hurt, you're going to be a lot more patient with them. You look past the anger and look at their fear. You look past their anger and you look at their pain and you go, oh, you cut them some slack. Like the people you work with, there are people you work with, you just go, that person's a VDP, very draining person. And if you actually knew where they've come from, you'd be a lot more patient with them. You see, when we look at people, we always go, look how far they've got to go. But instead of saying, look how far they've come. And if you knew, well, man, if I had their parents, I'd probably be messed up too. If I had that situation grow up, I'd probably be full of pain. I'd probably be more insecure. When you have wisdom, when you understand why people do what they do, you're a whole lot more patient with them.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. You'll get hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick delivered right to your inbox every day. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, I want to tell you about today's special opportunity. Pastor Rick created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover, and it's filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. Now, since you may not be able to ever travel to Jerusalem, I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and his death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high-quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on his journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends, too. This gift book is available when you donate to Daily Hope this month.
We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the love of Jesus around the world. You'll want to get extra copies as gifts for friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.